Jack Alderman is one of the longest-serving prisoners on death row in the United States. Though he maintains his innocence, he was convicted of murdering his wife Barbara and has now spent 32 years on death row in the state of Georgia. Though another man, John Arthur Brown, initially confessed that he'd killed Alderman's wife, Brown changed his confession shortly afterwards and said that Alderman had paid him to kill his wife. Both men were initially sentenced to death, but because Brown agreed to plead guilty, he was given a jail sentence. After his release, a few years later, Brown committed suicide. This month, Jack Alderman lost his final appeal. Though the court agreed that Brown, as a key witness, had been exceedingly untrustworthy and inconsistent, it ruled there was no evidence to overturn Alderman's original sentence. He is to be executed in May. For the past 2 years, British artist Simone Sandelson has been sending Alderman weekly letters. And Simone is with me now in the Outlook studio. Why did you start writing to Jack Alderman?
I didn't actually have a choice of who I wrote to. I just applied to a charity called Human Rights, where you can write to a death row prisoner and they give you a name and a number. So I had no idea who I would be writing to.
Did you from the very beginning know what he was in prison for?
No, and I was told that it would be better not to sort of look into his case, even though I did know it was on the internet.
So how then did you find out? I mean, you obviously found out why he was in prison.
I did, but I must admit I didn't actually find out for at least 3 or 4 months. It was very much quite a formal set of letters for the first 3 or 4 months, and then gradually things began to unravel.
In that case, at the start of this correspondence, you didn't know that he was on death row and why he was on death row. What then do you write in a letter?
I did know he was on death row.
Oh, you did know he was there?
I just didn't know what his
crime was. So you had an inkling of the backstory?
Well, I assumed he'd committed murder, because that's usually the reason you're on death row. So the first letter was extremely difficult, because I just wondered how someone like me from my life could somehow relate to him in his cell, as it were. So actually, I do remember I just started off by describing the garden I was sitting in at the time, just to give him some nice feelings of the countryside.
Green.
Green colour, yes.
Kind of, yeah, correspondence, small talk, basically,
yes.
and started off
but
like
not
that.
Not personal, actually, funny enough, just sort of general.
So after you'd written that first letter, then you got a letter back fairly quickly, did you?
Very quickly indeed. And he set out the ground rules, basically. I mean, he basically, you know, did numbers 1 to 3. This is not debt correspondence. You know, I have more time than you have. So
explain debt correspondence.
Debt correspondence is I mustn't feel that I need to write to him because he's written to me. So, for example, he might write 3 times a week, but it's okay for me to write once or whenever I felt like it. And I think the last thing was, if I found him boring, then pat myself on the back and look for someone else.
So. Now, you knew he was on death row. What actually prompted you to start a correspondence like this? As you say, you didn't kind of choose him. His name was suggested to
yes.
you. But...
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I am a portrait artist. I spend a lot of time in my studio. And I just think I'd reached a point where I thought it would actually be nice to reach out to someone else. And I read the advertisement and it seemed something I'd like to do. I enjoy writing letters, so...
You enjoy writing letters,
yes.
But this is a challenge, isn't it? To
it
write to somebody who you know is on death row, who therefore faces an execution, whose life is completely different to your own.
But then on that basis, you also feel you could actually make a very real difference. And I think that's what I liked about it. I like the idea of one-to-one, where, you know, it was obvious that one could contribute.
And as the letters went back and forth, did you feel that they were making a difference?
Totally, totally.
I mean, how did Jack describe this to you?
Well, I just know he looked forward to every day, you know, every day a letter arrived, the electric door would open, and I think it was a very exciting moment for him, so it was very encouraging.
Well, we're going to hear an extract from one of Jack's letters he wrote to you, and this is read by actor Toby Jones.
May 27th. You impact my world profoundly. It centers on the acceptance. It is fueled by the freedom. I trust you to let me be who I am. I am not suspicious or defensive. You cannot imagine the assault on the soul when the interrogations begin. I have no complaints about doubts or questions. They are reasonable. What can depress is the offer of belief that is a facade for curiosity. I cannot prove my innocence.
And that was a letter written by Jack Alderman to Simone Sandelson. When you talk to people about this correspondence that began, I mean, do they find this a bit strange, a bit difficult to understand?
I, I think some people do. I think some people feel the idea that why would I want to write to someone who's clearly murdered another person?
You say clearly murdered another person. He maintains his innocence.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying other people's perceptions.
Where do you stand? Because as this correspondence goes on, and you did find out more about the case, without going into too many details, when writing to someone who is on death row, who says he is innocent, where do you go? Do you agree with it? Or what do you do?
Well, actually, I mean, at the beginning, I wondered if I was being quite naive, but I did find myself more and more feeling that this was really quite an extraordinary person and he was innocent. So, in fact, I brought a journalist friend in to read all my letters, and I actually wanted her opinion. The letters I'd received, and she was overwhelmingly convinced as well that, you know, it was an outrageous case, actually.
Now, this started as something you thought you'd like to do because you like writing letters. You chose this avenue of correspondence. And then, obviously, it's had more and more of an impact on your own life. I mean, you've now opened an exhibition, for example, of paintings. It's just across the road, as it happens, here in central London. And the title of the exhibition is Exonerate Jack, which is about as clear-cut as it can be. Are you now campaigning, or are your paintings now a form of campaigning?
Yes, they are. I mean, I can't say I'm a campaigner by nature, but I did find that a lot of the things he wrote were very, very poignant, and my response was to paint it, just to show people what was going on, make people aware of it.
How do you capture that on a canvas?
Well, if I give you an example of something that inspired me, he once wrote to me to say that a butterfly came through the cyclone wire and all the razor wire, etc., and landed on the palm of his hand, and it was like the most extraordinary experience for him. And I just couldn't get this vision out of my mind of this kind of the darkness of the wire and the prison and the kind of beauty of the butterfly. And actually, that's set me off, really. That was my first painting.
And have you been able to take photographs or whatever of these paintings and send them back?
Yes.
And his reaction has been what?
Oh, he very, very touched and sort of humbled. And, you know, I think it made him feel better.
As I mentioned, he's had a final appeal this month. The appeal upheld the original sentence. Do you know what his reaction to that was?
I don't think he was surprised. Because when you have your first trial, after that, it's more or less hopeless, unless there's DNA. And, of course, there was none, because the victim and the co-defendant were both dead.
Well, let's just hear a short extract from one of Jack's other letters to you.
I only know that you know I am not a murderer, nor have I ever been. That can be a big deal. It gives me freedom. If an execution should be in the future, it will help me to know that you know.
Part of a letter written by US death row prisoner Jack Alderman to British artist Simone Sandelson. And my thanks to Simone for joining us in the Outlook studio.